Support for this podcast comes from Stanford Summer Session, where university and high school students can experience Stanford for the summer. Choose from 170 courses and earn a Stanford transcript. Learn more at summer.stanford.edu.
From KQED News, I'm Craig Miller. If you're one to enjoy a big plate of briny oysters, here's some not-so-good news. Climate change is already causing problems for the oyster industry up and down the West Coast, and it's only expected to get worse. But as KQED science reporter Lauren Sommer tells us, one Bay Area oyster farm is teaming up with scientists to find a way to use nature to adapt.
It's your typical political conference, a Sacramento hotel ballroom filled with lobbyists, policymakers, experts. Terry Sawyer seems to blend in, wearing a blue blazer, until you talk to him.
I am definitely out of my element, out of my comfort zone. I would rather be in shorts and no shoes.
Sawyer is an oyster farmer. He runs Hog Island Oyster Company, 50 miles north of San Francisco. And normally he's knee-deep in mud. But a few years ago, he started going to climate change conferences, like this one, trying to understand it.
Carbon chemistry is incredibly sophisticated, complicated science.
Today, he's going on stage as a speaker with a message.
We need help. We're that canary in the coal mine analogy drives me crazy, but that's where we are.
To see why, I meet Sawyer on more familiar turf.
What kind are these?
These are sweetwaters. It's a Pacific oyster.
Workers are sorting through a huge pile of fresh oysters, which have just come out of Tamales Bay right behind us.
This time of year, we're getting some great flavors.
Sawyer first started hearing about climate change a decade ago. Like a lot of oyster farmers, he buys baby oysters from hatcheries in Oregon and Washington. But the hatcheries were having mysterious die-offs.
The orders that we were getting, if we were getting them at all, they wouldn't necessarily happen at the time or the size that we could take them.
And the main cause? Acidic seawater. At least a quarter of the carbon we humans put into the atmosphere from burning fossil fuels is soaked up by the ocean. It's like a carbon sponge. But adding carbon to seawater makes it more acidic, about 30% more acidic. That's tough on animals that build shells. In other words, bad news for the Pacific shellfish industry, which is worth more than $100 million.
You don't want to curl up in a fetal position. You do want to say, we've got to move on this, and we need help.
So Sawyer found help by teaming up with scientists.
Yeah, we're off.
Good luck.
Christy Croker is a professor of marine biology at UC Santa Cruz. She's scuba diving in a shallow part of Tamales Bay, surrounded by thick green seagrass waving in the current.
When you're down in it, it really feels like you're in a forest of seagrass. It's quite long.
This seagrass is a glimmer of hope for oyster farmers. Plants, whether it's a forest or your lawn, take up carbon dioxide and use it for photosynthesis.
The plants under the water are doing the exact same thing.
The seagrass pulls the carbon out of the water, which makes it slightly less acidic.
So essentially, they're creating this little bubble of seawater around them that's more friendly for animals that might be threatened by ocean acidification.
It's a buffer. So Croker is trying to figure out if oysters could be protected by putting them in seagrass beds.
Down at the bottom, I'm going to start hooking the oysters onto the sensor.
Croker dives and puts a mesh bag of baby oysters in the seagrass. She'll be watching them in the months to come. So far, the results look promising, but not necessarily the whole answer. Seagrass can reduce acidification around it, but only in certain locations or at certain times of year. But against a global problem, Croker says these local approaches have a lot of potential.
Can we use parts of nature that we already know are important, seagrasses, to actually benefit people and protect them from some of these impacts?
The approach is being studied around the world, in different ecosystems or using bigger marine plants like kelp. But eventually, it'll be up to oyster farmers like Terry Sawyer to make the research work on the ground, or in the water.
From an aquaculture point of view, you bet I'm hopeful. Maybe I'm being idealistic here, but we're learning so much. We're just at the tip of the iceberg on that.
And he's willing to try whatever it takes. I'm Lauren Sommer, KQED News.
Support for KQED Science is provided by the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation, Hope Lab, and the Dirk and Charlene Kabsonell Foundation.